This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
The following is a live copyrighted presentation. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time now for RadioLawTalk.com with your host, Frederick Penny, attorney at law. And now, RadioLawTalk.com.
Welcome to Radio Law Talk. I'm Frederick Penny, your host. Remember, we always say we're the most exciting, entertaining, and sometimes, you know, you can learn something from us if you'd like at times, but it is informative if you want to listen to it carefully. Also, we try to be politically neutral. If you're tired of politics radio, that's us. You just stay here because we're going to discuss both sides. We're lawyers. Disney Sterks is a family law attorney. I'm a personal injury lawyer, and Todd is a former prosecutor for the DA's office and now a criminal lawyer, and Cal thinks he's a lawyer. He's our producer. So
Cal's a wannabe.
With all that.
Don't you forget it.
With all that, you can't go wrong.
I object.
With all that, you can't go wrong. But if you want to join the show, you can call us at 855-LAW-RADIO or tweet us at Radio Law Talk. Remember, we're going to do the thing called Case or No Case that most people love to play. It's a play-along. And if you want to tweet it in, you can tweet it in at Radio Law Talk. But remember, you do not have to be on the air. Cal will take your call and just say what you believe that the answer should be. Or if you tweet it out, we'll mention it on the air. So today we're going to talk about, we're going to talk about Woody Allen's $68 million lawsuit against Amazon. But probably the bigger one that we're going to talk about first, after Case or No Case, is the women's soccer lawsuit about whether or not women should be paid the same as the men's soccer players. And an actual lawsuit has been filed. And I'd love to get all of our takes on this as to how this applies or does not apply to our democracy. And whatever brings in the most money, they get paid the most. Issue.
Capitalism, you mean?
Yes, capitalism.
And the rule of contract law. What kind of deal did you sign?
Yeah, that's exactly right. We're going to talk about that. And then really important for Denise, who rolls in this, the Rudy Giuliani divorce is getting very interesting out of New York, and we're going to discuss that, so hang on with that. But remember, we're talking about general topics of law. Seek legal counsel from your local lawyer. Do not use us to go ahead and decide what you think you should do legally on one of your cases. Seek local counsel. And also, we are heard all across the country. And remember, if you want to talk to an attorney in your area, go ahead and go to our website at www.radiolawtalk.com. You can see lists of lawyers that are in different areas, and we appreciate those lawyers. Before we do anything else, I think we roll to Case or No Case, Cal.
Now it's time to play Case or No Case.
Yay!
All right. Well, I take you now to the great city of Denver, Colorado, where Tom Messina owns a restaurant, or at least he thought he did. For the past 20 years, Mr. Messina has operated Tom's Diner on Colfax Avenue, right in the middle of downtown Denver, a popular 24-hour restaurant just a few blocks from the Colorado State Capitol. It's demanding work. Mr. Messina is looking forward to moving on as he nears retirement age. His plan was always, well, I'll sell my restaurant. That'll be my retirement. That dream looked like it would become a reality because a company offered him almost $5 million for his property, and the Colorado-based developer wants to build an 8-story apartment building with the shops on the ground floor. They thought it would be a great place to do that. The price was right for Messina, and the plans fit perfectly with Denver's 2010 rezoning of the property. But wait. Denver's historic preservationists got wind of Messina's evil plans to sell his own property and retire after 2 decades of serving Denver residents eggs, and they objected. The activists argued that Messina's restaurant, first built in 1967, is a classic example of mid-century googie architecture and is worthy of protection. For Messina, the issue comes down to the fact that it's his building and his land, and he should be able to decide what happens to it. And so I ask you and Mr. Cunin, because it's your turn, and because, oh, by the way, This is a 5-point risk it round. You may risk up to 5 points of your current score. You can either lose 5 or gain 5 more plus, but, you know, so that's what we're up against. If you don't want to, it's still a, you know, 1 point and 1 point, but I'm, because Todd's so far behind, it's only fair.
Thanks for throwing me a bone there, Cal.
So the question is, case or no case?
The question is points, and then case or no case, right?
Yeah, points first.
Points or no points. Okay, so first I'll go ahead and do the 5.
All right, very well.
So I'm going to go big or go home, what the heck.
There you go. And by the way, if you get it split, it's a no point. It's a no-point problem.
So I just stay right where I'm at.
Right.
Okay. Is this a case? Could this guy be basically shut down by the Preservation Society in the town? And I will say, because I've heard about this happening before, I'm going to say, yeah, this is a case. And I am also going to say that the Preservation Society is able to sustain their action and prevent him from engaging in the activity he wants to.
You see, and this is just what Fred was talking about. Do we live in a capitalist society, or do we live in a society where nobody really owns anything? And that's really that this might bring up. And so, Denise, I guess we'll just go around the horn. You get to go second, if you please.
All right. You want me to say points?
I'd like you to.
I'm just going to risk 2.
Okay, 2. Very well.
Okay. And I'm conservative in that way.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's 2010, and I'm trying to think back, and does a Preservation Society, if they win, is it really like a, not adverse possession, but what's the name when?
Eminent domain.
Eminent domain, exactly.
You already grabbed my thought.
Yes, and so I'm thinking that if it is an eminent domain matter, which I think it would have to be if it's a preservation issue, then they have to match the $5 million. So I think it's a case, and I think that he gets the $5 million in some manner.
All right. Mr. Penny, what say you?
Well, Denise followed my exact thing. I mean, there is no damages if he's selling it for $5 million.
Wait, you got to put your
Yeah, no, 2 points. I'm 2 points. I'm 2 points.
All right.
It doesn't matter where he gets the money from, and if they come in as a preservation society or a historic society and prove that it's a historic landmark, then the government can take it under eminent domain, but they're going to have to pay the reasonable value of that. And so if they prove it, he's been offered $5 million, they got to write a $5 million check to keep the diner there. And if I was him, I would be happy for that. Wouldn't you? Good. Take it, eminent domain. I got my original diner still there. And by the way, I'll still work there if you like me to. And I'm going to take the $5 million. So, and that money comes out of the taxpayers like me, you, and everybody else. So that is the scenario. That was a very intelligent argument, Denise, and I agree. But I'm going to say no case, and let me tell you why. I think this is a true scenario. I think this incident did occur, and I think they worked it out, but there was no lawsuits filed. No lawsuits filed.
Did you risk any points on this, Fred?
Two.
2 points. Okay. All right. Well, all right.
No lawsuits were filed.
Interesting. Well, it's very interesting that each of you had different legal theories on this. The first question I would ask you, and I'm just going to ask you out loud, is do you think that the Preservation Society has eminent domain authority? They're just a group. They're not really like a government agency or anything. Fred, what do you say?
So I think that it depends on every state's different, but I think there is a federal one, but I think they do have certain rights. I don't know that answer. I'm going to put that out there, but I believe they do have some sort of rights.
You know, I missed something, and that's the rezoning issue, and that's very important to this case, actually. So if they rezoned it, the question is what they were going to do, the people that were going to buy this business.
Building with shops on the bottom floor. It was a mixed-use retail residential was what...
Well, when we come back, we're going to hear about it because Cal's going to tell us whether we like it or not and see if Denise, myself, and Todd, we have different theories.
Oh, you'll
It's going to be fun.
You'll like
We'll
it.
Be back.
Okay, stick around. There's much more Radio Law Talk coming up, including the answer to case or no case after this.
All advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to RadioLawTalk.com.
Not all law firms have extensive experience in all areas of the law. It's wise to look for firms that have knowledge and understanding in your particular area of concern. So go to ProLawFirms.com. They have listings of attorneys in key areas of practice, such as family law, estate planning, personal injury, bankruptcy, and so forth. When you're looking for a lawyer that has extensive experience in your particular area of need, go to ProLawFirms.com. That's ProLawFirms.com.
ProLawFirms.com is not a law firm and does not endorse or recommend any specific law firm.
If you're one of those independent people who wants your own business and you love food service, we just might have a great opportunity for you. Iceberg Drive-Ins. Iceberg is famous for its thick shakes and delicious food. We lend you our supply chain and expertise, and you can potentially have a thriving, successful, fun business that your customers will love. Iceberg Drive-Ins has some prime areas available right now, so if you're interested, get in touch with us right away. Go to icebergdrivein.com and click on the Contact Us button. Iceberg Drive-In. Ready to grow with you.
Jason Ross back here with Fred Penny, managing attorney from Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers. Now, Fred, what type of cases are you dealing with now, and what sets you apart?
Jason, we help people with all types of personal injury cases. We're former insurance company trial lawyers. We understand the other side, which gives us a distinct advantage over our competition. Remember, we don't get paid unless we win.
That's Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers with locations throughout California. For a free consultation, go to PennyLawyers.com or give them a call 1-800-616-4LAW. That's PennyLawyers.com.
This is Denise Sturks. We can represent clients in divorce, legal separation, child and spousal support, custody, termination of parental rights, step-parent adoptions, guardianships, and even conservatorship matters. Call 1-877-886-7186 for a consultation.
The law offices of Denise L. Dirks provide family law services in Northern California. When the law affects your family, call 877-886-7186. The family of attorneys at Denise L. Dirks is here to help.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally, and it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
You're listening to RadioLawTalk.com. And now back to your host, Frederick Penny.
So Tom's Diner, a place that sounds like I would love to eat, unfortunately, in Denver, Colorado, wants to sell the property, and he wants to retire old Tom and for $5 million to a developer that's going to put a high-rise and some lower end on the bottom of the high-rise, make some nice restaurants or or do some sort of other type of commercial
convenience store, whatever.
But so the issue is a Denver Historic Society or Preservation Society came in and said, no, you can't do that because it's a historic place that we're going to – it's the original diner that everybody loves. The question is, did a lawsuit occur? And if so, who wins in that case? Denise and I talked about eminent domain, and during the break we're saying, well, does the Historic Society, is that a government entity that they can claim eminent domain? And we're thinking, no, now that that's a private society, they're going to have to raise the money, but I don't know that answer. So, Cal, I'll go ahead.
By the way, I just want to say we did get one message coming in saying that, yes, this is a case, but it was based upon a personal experience of this person, but... one of our listeners has said it is a case.
All right.
Yes.
Well, I wonder, can we penalize them if they're wrong?
No. They're always right. Our listeners are always right.
That's right. Listeners are always right. All right. So here's the deal. For those of you who say this is a case, please raise your hands. That would be Denise and Mr. Kunin. And the answer to that is...
Oh, Fred Penny is right again. Now, I love to hear that.
Now, I will not deduct any points from Todd because he said it was a true scenario. And he's right about that. It is a true scenario.
And so did I.
Not going to deduct any points from any of you, and I'm not going to award points to any of you except you, Fred, for saying it was no case. And here's why. This actually, the preservation board came to the restaurant owner and said, look, let us show you how to use your land. You can leave the building here. But, of course, that meant 60% of the property would be used for the development. Therefore, the value of the property went like that. And he said, look, if you want to buy it from me for $4.5 million, you're welcome to do that. And they said, oh, no, no. As the Preservation Society, all we have to do is get it registered at the National Place of Historic Registers, Register of Historic Places, and you can't touch a nail without going through them. And that's what they did. So it's now in the National Registry of Historic Places. He's still trying to get compensated for the money they took from him. It's not been fully resolved. It's still up in the air, but they have sent it in for submission for registry. It's not registered yet. Yes.
So I have an answer. And as a mediator, sometimes it's good to get a mediator in. Why don't they come in and lift the diner up and move it somewhere else so the original diner is still in place, even though it wasn't sit at the same spot, and that's the historic diner that's still there, but put it somewhere else that is not going to cause this problem, and give him his $5 million. I just solved it. Give me a call, everybody, if you're listening to Radio Law Talk in Denver. Tell Tom at Tom's Diner this is what needs to happen.
Great question. There are three restaurants built in the same original chain on which Tom's Diner was based on the very same street. His happens to be the first one, and so the Historic Society said, well, you can't move that one. You could move the other two, but this is the original one, it has to say. And it's some chain you've never heard of, like Smitty's or something. I don't even know what it is. It's a weird thing.
I want to look this up on the Internet.
Yeah, it's a pretty interesting story. Yeah, Google it, and then you'll get a lot more subtext and background that I could give you. But that, ladies and gentlemen, is case or no case. And remember, I'm not above simplifying and making the facts easier than the actual case may give for the purposes of clarity and editing in case or no case. And now back to the show.
Well, it's another disclaimer. It's case or no case. Don't think that it's all 100% accurate.
We're going to change the title to Radio Disclaimer Talk.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Good call.
Leave us alone. We're lawyers. We're disclaimers. You know what? Okay, the big issue that's coming for this Megan Rapinoe, okay? And I don't follow soccer.
Rapinoe. Megan Rapinoe. I know she's from Reading. I know. Reading,
Rapinoe. I don't know. Whatever.
Just saying.
I'm going to say Megan. So Megan is the women's soccer, one of the stars on the women's soccer team that they won the World Cup. Is that right?
Yeah, the Women's World Cup.
I don't follow that too much. But what the big issue is...
That's significant, by the way.
I know. The big issue is women are not paid as much as the men in the World Cup. And she has brought a lawsuit on behalf of the women's soccer, national soccer team, to say basically that they should be paid equal amount, as equal as the men, and she's going to try to fight the basic system of inequality. I'm going to quote her. More people want to watch, this is a quote from her, more people want to watch men's soccer, so the men make a lot more money than we do. This is a clear example of systematic inequality that has been enshrined in economic laws for centuries. My answer is true. Next.
Or is it?
You know, yeah. The interesting thing is her statement here in this press conference that she made about supply and demand being unconstitutional and whatnot, her statement does not mirror the allegations that are in her lawsuit, the class action lawsuit. The class action lawsuit, she's essentially alleging, we made more than the men.
Which they did, by the way.
Clause number 42 in paragraph number 42 in the lawsuit says during the period of time, women's soccer made more than men's soccer. So I would think that she would be relying
on
those principles.
No, it's not the players.
No, we're talking about revenue. So to the extent that things are similarly situated, right, and somebody's making the argument that, like what Fred made, well, women's soccer doesn't make as much as men's soccer, so yeah, the men should make more. The argument in the complaint is, but women's soccer didn't make less than men's soccer. Women's soccer made more than men's soccer.
Right, so
why didn't we get paid? Which is contrary to what she is claiming here, which is supply and demand. So, Fred.
Yeah, no, I was going to say that we've got 1 minute, so I want to we want to talk about this in the next segment. But what's important to note is what happened if the men's soccer team won the World Cup and the women's didn't do very well. I will tell you the men's probably would have made more money at the time. It's who's the winner. Who's making more money, the Patriots or the Jets? The Patriots are probably making more money than the New York Jets because they're Super Bowl champions. So that's something that's going to be interesting to talk about. Is it a woman thing or is it a thing of who is doing the best?
Or is it a contractual thing?
Right. We'll talk about that when we come back.
Yep, it's Radio Law Talk. Stay tuned. There's more coming up.
All advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to RadioLawTalk.com.
Know someone with a drinking or drug problem? Learn how to get sober after we share these stories.
I was 35 with two beautiful children when my life and addiction started to spiral out of control. After my divorce, I went into a depression cycle and started drinking more often and using prescription drugs. After my second DWI and arrest, my ex-husband threatened to take our children away from me.
I was 17 when I became addicted to heroin and meth. I thought I could quit on my own, but I couldn't. It hit me when I was arrested.
Get sober now. Your private insurance may cover costs, and we'll get you here. It's simple. Just call Elite Rehab Placement right now. Please, don't wait. Your life matters to us. 800-918-1376. 800-918-1376. 800-918-1376. That's 800-918-1376.
Hi, my name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy, some uncle I never knew, called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars, and they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called The Tax Doctor. And The Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS. And they're able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less.
800-263-2610. 800-263-2610. That's 800-263-2610.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Trump announcing this week he plans to impose new tariffs on $300 billion worth of Chinese imports starting September 1st. Democratic Congressman Dan Kildee of Michigan believes
the president was right
to take on China, as has now recently been proven again. China doesn't keep his word, or their word. China cheats when it comes to trade, and we have to take them on.
In his first public remarks since President Trump's tweets last week, Democratic Congressman Elijah Cummings invites the president to come to Baltimore.
Come to Baltimore. Do not just criticize us, but come to Baltimore, and I promise you, you will be welcome. I promise you, we will give you every bit of hospitality we've got.
And in a developing story, there's an active shooter situation at the Walmart in El Paso, Texas, on the corner of Hawkins and Gateway East Boulevards. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Does your business spend $500 a month or more on gas and electric bills? Did you know by making a simple free phone call, you can save up to 25% on your bill every month? What could you do with a 25% savings on utility bills every month? Energy deregulation is now available in your state. Making one simple phone call will show you how we can lower your gas and electric bills instantly, with no changes to your bill and no enrollment fee. This is a free service. The only thing you'll notice is a lower bill every month. Call U.S. Power and Light right now. Learn how easy it is to lower your utility bills for your business and save money. We promise. So if you spend over $500 a month on your gas and electric bills, please call right now and unleash your savings.
800-941-3381. 800-941-3381. 800-941-3381. That's 800-941-3381.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Oh, that's stone.
Radio Law Talk. Now, back to the show.
So, in this case, the plaintiffs are actually each of the individual women on the soccer team trying to get it as a class, and the issue is whether or not they should be paid the same amount as the men, because it is a fact that the men's soccer team players get paid more money than the women's soccer team players. And if you followed this, which, again, I'm not a big soccer follower, but it was dead obvious that the women got a lot more attention, as Denise brought out, that it was because the men didn't even really qualify for hardly anything. They didn't do very well, and the women brought the...
The men made the finals.
Did they? The men made the finals.
Yeah, but four years ago.
Right,
four years ago.
This year, the men made the finals, and the women played in the finals and won. But
yeah,
when the suit was begun 4 years ago, no, not so.
Right. Yeah, so anyway, what it comes down to is, at least for now, the women seem to be more popular than the men when it comes to making revenue. And their argument is, we have actually, if the facts are that we as women have brought in more revenue than the men, and yet the men get paid more than we do in this case.
And I think revenue is irrelevant.
And let's get to it. Cal has a contract issue.
Let's raise question number one. The women's contract asked for a solid baseline of pay without incentives. The men's contract asked for a baseline of a line of pay that was lower as a base, but had incentives for victories and so on. When the men won, they got more. When the men lost, they didn't. In the last 10 years, the women have been paid more than the men, even under this flat payment, that, at least according to what the Soccer Association said when they replied. So the women negotiated a different style of contract than the men. If they have the same contract, okay, because the men's is based on revenue.
Now, they were offered a different contract than the men.
Right, but the
negotiation.
They're negotiating.
No, they're negotiating with a huge corporation
right. That's
a nonprofit that has a lot. front end, is what
the, yeah, why wasn't it the same, why isn't it the same agreement? They're both the soccer association, they're the same soccer association. Why shouldn't it be the same agreement?
All right, I'll put this forward. First, there is a union at play here, the United States Women's National Team. The Players Association is a union that can bargain under the National Labor Relations Act, that can collectively bargain for wages, hours, and working conditions on behalf of those individuals, so that the employees are not trying, the players are not trying to bargain individually. Collectively, they can bargain, and regardless of how they reach the agreement, this is the agreement that they reached, and I don't believe that any lawsuit, clearly there are lawsuits that are available, they could have filed with the NLRB that the Soccer Association was negotiating in bad faith, that they were strong-arming him, that they were giving him a take-it-or-leave-it deal, which they can't do under collective bargaining. They have to negotiate in good faith. None of those issues have been raised. So the fact that the agreement was reached as the way Cal talked about it, I don't know that there is necessarily anything bad about that. Why would there be disparate agreements between the men and the women? I would put forth this justification. The men are being recruited from the ranks of professional soccer. They're already being paid a lot in professional soccer, and in order to get them from professional soccer to also play in for the U.S. national team, it's going to take a little bit more to get them over, but they didn't want to match income, so they gave the men an incentive-based contract. Women's professional soccer is nowhere near the level of men's professional soccer. So, in order for women to be able to make a consistent wage year in and year out playing soccer, doing so on the national team with a higher base salary that's not tied to wins and losses allows them to continue to play competitively and not have to maintain a separate job to make ends meet, and they're able to do that. It was something that apparently, according to their union, was a contract that met their needs. Notably, this lawsuit right now was not brought by the Players Association. It's been brought by an individual, and the Players Association has said, look, we support their desire to get their own money, but we're not part of this.
But they're suing for federal violations under the gender laws. So the suit doesn't involve the contract so much as it involves federal laws.
It does, however, those are still wages, hours, and working conditions that are historically brought pursuant to your collective bargaining representation before the National Labor Relations Board, and they have opted to forego that revenue or that avenue for solving this and to go straight to federal court. Fred?
So the issue that I said, what you brought up was very interesting, because we are friends. Our family's family is friends with a professional woman soccer player, and I was shocked at the amount of money that she receives. And as she plays, and she's a really good player, as she plays, they don't fill nearly as many people in the stands. There's no doubt there's just not as many. But it was pretty low. It was like lower than 100 grand. It was between 50 and 100 grand a year. And this is a professional woman soccer, and it's just like, and I guess it's supply and demand, but they don't fill very many seats.
Well, they have recently.
Yeah.
But historically, you're
historically,
exactly right.
Historically. But I was a little shocked at woo. And it is supply and demand. It's, hey, we're going to pay so much according to how much we make. But
this is a nonprofit organization that's receiving
right.
the money, so revenue to me is irrelevant.
But the
question is, are they offering the women so much less because they're women? That's really the question, and that's what they're going to have to determine. It's a federal, regulation type of an issue that's going to have to be deemed, is it constitutional or unconstitutional?
Well, let me just ask this. I'll just put out this hypothetical. Let's take it out of the soccer context and put it into the context of another nonprofit. Let's take the SPCA. Let's take the United Way, all nonprofits. If they have an amount that they have to spend on employees, people that work for them, and the organization is not bringing in enough revenue to match payroll, all right, then It's all tied to revenue. Is there enough to match? Is there enough revenue to justify the amount you're paying? We shouldn't require folks to go into the red so that you can continue to pay a salary if the revenue is not coming in. I don't know what their books are. I don't know what their books are, but it has to be based on revenue because that is the pie that is being split up of which the employees, the players, want a part of. And so whatever it is they want, if they want to be paid on par with the men's team, but historically they didn't bring in the same revenue, and to pay them on par with the men's team would cause women's soccer to go into the red, I don't think that that's justified.
Then what you're saying is that what they should do is renegotiate the contract when it comes up, and it'll be a different thing. And Denise has got a good point, is arguing that, like, wait a minute, but still there may have been a collective bargaining issue that they didn't have the strength, or they should have been able to be equal to the men.
Then decertify the union and get another one. But the issue is, for example, the WNBA. Name one player that gets paid as much money as LeBron James.
Or LeBron.
Yeah, but that's a whole different thing because then there are owners. There's owners that need the revenue. They're making the revenue.
It's men and women's sports, and it's how many butts are in the seats, pardon my approach, versus how much they're willing to pay to get in those seats. That's where the money, TV contracts, advertising contracts, soccer's the same, except it's a nonprofit business.
And the players cannot be endorsed by anybody.
Right.
All the endorsements are controlled by this entity.
Same for the men.
They're the ones that make that money. I know, I understand, that's my whole point. They're kept from any additional type of money, so the only thing they have is their contract.
Right.
It should be equal.
They
would have made a lot of money if it was equal to the man's contract.
Well, if the percentages are the same, then I'm okay with it.
What we see in the media is a very simplified version of the argument that I think is unfair to the issues that are going on, which is this. The way it's pitched is, men play soccer, we play the same game. We win, they didn't win, they get paid more than us, that's wrong. There are far more issues at play than just that. For example, the argument here in the lawsuit is that the women's soccer team is similarly situated to the men's, not in terms of level of competition. Why do we have a women's soccer team and a men's soccer team? It's because the competition level is different and has historically been different. The same is true with the WNBA, women's baseball, the whole thing. It's not the same. You know, if you truly wanted equality and all that, well, then Ms. Rapinoe, go ahead and try out for the men's national team. I'm sure that you could probably get a waiver on gender things with today's climate, but that's not going to happen because it's going to be harder to get in there. So they're not necessarily similarly situated as they are claiming. But they might have an issue with that revenue stuff.
Well, we're going to come back. I want to, not to interrupt, but we're going to talk about Rudy Giuliani. I want Denise to talk about it, but I just had to throw this in. Women models. I always brought this up. Women model. The women model, the number one model, makes Kendall Jenner $22.5 million a year. The biggest man model, Simeon Nesman, makes $1.5 million a year.
Equal pay. Equal pay.
That's different. Not federal. It's different.
I know, it's different. I agree, it's different.
I'm teasing.
But it's just interesting how there's money in different revenues in different areas. We'll be back.
Thank you for listening to Radio Law Talk. You can hear us on your favorite radio station. We stream live on RadioLawTalk.com, and we podcast from there as well. Lots of choices of ways to listen to Radio Law Talk. All advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to RadioLawTalk.com.
Fellow Patriots, my name is Todd Savage, founder of BlackRifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to BlackRifleRealEstate.com. That's BlackRifleRealEstate.com.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply.
They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Lockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. LockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at LockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. LockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Hey, Bugsy, you hear the news about Vinny?
Yeah, it's a real shame. He owed money to the IRS and they finally caught up with him.
Just like Al Capone.
If the IRS can get the Capone, imagine what they can do to little old Vinny, huh?
Poor cat, he was on top of the world. Bada boom, bada bing.
What Vinny needs now is an offer he can't refuse.
Hey, you got a tax problem? Does the IRS claim you owe them a bunch of dough? They can get you, too. So call the Tax Relief Line now and learn if you qualify to negotiate your $10,000 plus IRS tax debt for up to a 75% savings. Don't be like Al or Vinny and get busted. Make this free call now. Learn how you may be able to pay the IRS less.
Call now. 800-590-4930. 800-590-4930, 800-590-4930, that's 800-590-4930.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
This is no fun.
Radio Law Talk. Now back to the show.
So Rudy Giuliani has been married approximately 15 years, and he gets a divorce from his wife. And there's some very interesting arguments made by his wife that Denise is going to talk about. But it basically comes down to, you know, Denise will discuss fault and no-fault states and about New York. But the interesting general argument is, he was making lots of money, and all of a sudden he's doing all this free stuff for President Trump, where before he probably would have charged him. That's what she's kind of arguing. And, wow, he made a lot of money before, and he's making a lot less now and trying to claim that he's basically almost broke. How does that work, Denise?
Well, he clearly was the supporting spouse. So he was supporting her. He made more money than her. And so what she's claiming is that he's now purposely got not just not making any money, but he has got himself in over $1 million on credit card debts. And so he's claiming he cannot pay her money. He can't pay her spouse support. Nothing like that. And she wants it. He can't pay it, he's claiming. And she's saying, look, why are you working for free for President Trump? You should be getting paid. In fact, he borrowed $100,000 from one of Donald Trump's lawyers. And she's claiming, well, that is not necessarily borrowing a loan. That's him getting paid. So he's trying to avoid paying her. She's trying to show that he is purposely not earning income so he doesn't have to pay her. And it's a very it's a huge conflict in this case. It is going on, and it's been going on for a long time. I don't know if his particular case is a no-fault case or a fault.
Explain that.
Yeah. A no-fault state, which California is one, and there are many out there, that is where you don't have to have any kind of fault to get a divorce. So it's just based on irreconcilable type of differences, and you don't have to prove fault. In fault states, you have to prove fault. And not only do you have to prove fault, but if you prove fault, a lot of times you get more of the money or more of the assets. Even if it's a community property state, you could, if you prove fault, you can get sort of like damages for that fault. In New York, they just recently, I think it was in 2010, changed it from a fault state to a both a no-fault and a fault state. So it has both of them. That's what's so interesting about New York. So in New York, the fault-based divorces are based upon cruel and inhumane treatment of a spouse or an abandonment. If you abandon your spouse for a continuous period of 1 year or more, if there's spouse is imprisoned for 3 or more years after the marriage occurred, if there's adultery going on, and if they've been living apart for 1 or more years after obtaining a judgment of separation, then it's a fault. And then living apart for 1 or more years pursuant to a separation agreement, then it goes by fault.
So, again, just trying to quickly do research here. I was unable to find out what they have opted for, whether it's fault or no fault. But the things that lead me to believe that they are seeking a no fault resolution are statements by Giuliani, for example, when this started was, you know, we're seeking an amicable resolution to split things 50-50. They're talking about equitable distribution based upon the assets that have come in, as opposed to a situation where the distribution of assets are going to be dependent upon what sort of bad behavior they can allege against me or the other side. So that would lead me to believe, but I can't be positive to that. However, regardless of whether it's fault or no fault, Denise, am I correct that if an individual is intentionally taking less money for services than they would normally get, as she is alleging on the part of Giuliani, he can't rely on that to lower his liability for spousal support and ongoing spousal support, for example, to say, well, I'm not making a lot of money now because I'm donating everything here. If it's clear that, well, yeah, because the minute the divorce is final, we've got an order, that's going to stop and you're going to go start making triple that. You know, that's not something that people can typically do to get around the system, right?
No, usually states have some sort of a law on that. But in New York, it's not clear what the law is in New York. It seems like it's very similar to California. In California, if you purposely lose your job or quit your job or purposely don't make the money that you can potentially be making just to avoid support, the court can impute that income to you and you would still have to pay support.
Now, what if Giuliani tried to make a creative argument, looking at this, that the work that he's doing for Donald Trump is so important to his practice from a marketing standpoint because it puts him in, look, I haven't seen any other cases that Rudy Giuliani has taken that land him on CNN, Fox News, you know, any of the big things talking about what's going on with his client, if he's got those that are going on. But I do see his name getting out there. In fact, I didn't even know, again, I'm on the other side of the country, I didn't even know he had gone into private practice as a lawyer after being a mayor until I saw him representing Donald Trump. And you know, from his standpoint, could he make the argument, well, yeah, I'm not charging a lot, but look how much money I'm getting in free advertising, okay? That's why I do it, because I make more on the back end because of that.
Yeah, well, he could say that, but I think she's got a better argument because he's actually paying a lot of money.
Well, couple of interesting things. I'm going to throw a side anecdotal thing in. So they're sitting there in court, and Giuliani's attorney says the following, that he walked into their place, and she had taken the china, the silverware, the pictures off the wall, and the place was a mess. And she says, she yells out, I did not, and slaps her hand on the table. And the judge is like, I'm not going to tolerate this outburst. And so this is getting heated. And I'm not saying, you know, it's her fault or she's a bad person for doing that, but this is getting really heated.
Right, and he has a good argument against her because she's a registered nurse. She's younger than him. You're looking at all of the factors that you'd have to consider, earning capacity. Should you make a man in Giuliani's age have to work? That's also a very big decision that the court's going to have to make.
Right, that's a good argument. They also argue that Giuliani insisted that he was trying to find other sources of income, including the podcast. But here's some facts that are very important that I want to get in before the end of this. Listen to this. The proceeds from what he earned in 2016, $7.9 million. And in 2017, $9.5 million. So now she's claiming they're kind of broke in 2018, 2019. That's a huge drop. What happened there? So I'm jumping on her side a little bit saying, look at the previous history. And all of a sudden now we're getting this divorce and you're supposedly broke. How do you go from 7.9 and 9.5 million a year to all of a sudden, oh man, I got a loan money.
They've got $5 million tied up in a joint account right now. So he's not truly broke. Yeah. He's at least half of that's his, and
right,
maybe more will be his. And then she's also let their home go into foreclosure.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
She didn't pay some kind of thing on it. Maybe it's not a home. Maybe they rent it, but they've got a termination notice.
Wow.
For sure.
Wow. So what's going on in this thing? So they're arguing right now, basically, who gets what. I was reading and understanding all the things, the country club they had a jet, not a jet, but they had a apparently you can buy those percentages of jets or whatever, but they have this $50,000 a year jet expense, all that type
of
stuff.
Like a jet club.
Yeah, like a jet club. Right. So anyway, but that's the long and the short of it.
Yeah, he was paying her $42,000 a month, and now he's saying I can't.
Can't pay anything.
Right.
Well, Cal, given that, it's time for...
Now,
what?
Quick takes, Fred. No, you've got one.
You want my quick take?
Well, if you got one ready.
Yeah, I do.
Go.
If you want to go to law school and take the bar exam, remember, next year, find out which state bar staff member is going to be sending out the topics early, and go to that state.
Todd, your quick take.
Okay. Mine is a question. In light of today's political climate, and specifically the argument that gender is a malleable concept and you can choose your gender despite your genetic makeup, what would happen to the women's soccer team's claim if the entire men's team collectively said, we identify as women?
And mine, for all those attorneys out there, if you struggle with whether to use the press or not to use the press in your case, bad or not, you may become liable. That's what Cosby tells us, that case.
Thanks for joining us, Denise and I and Todd and Cal, and we're going to talk to you next week. Remember, we're live Pacific time, 9 to noon every Saturday.
And we thank you for listening to us right here on Radio Law Talk and invite you to join us next time or anytime on RadioLawTalk.com.
You have been listening to RadioLawTalk.com, a copyrighted presentation of Radio Law Talk, Incorporated.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.